Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Wouldn't you love to feel wonder more often? It's that childlike feeling that the universe is even bigger and more mysterious than you can imagine. Well, I at least am feeling that today with news that a global team of scientists, including from MIT, have found what may be signs of life on our neighboring planet, Venus. The findings are out just today in a pair of papers, and joining us now are two of the authors. We have Clara Souza Silva, is a molecular astrophysicist now at Harvard University. Clara, welcome to you.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you. And Yanis Petkovsky is a research scientist at the Department of Earth, Atmospheric and Planetary Sciences at MIT. Yanis, welcome to you as well.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
So, Clara, I'll start with my favorite question. How big a deal is this?
I mean, it's a big deal, no matter what. We found something extraordinary on Venus. Now, it may be just a sign of really strange chemistry that we cannot begin to consider, but there's a small possibility that it may be a sign of not just strange chemistry, but strange biochemistry. And the culprit is the molecule phosphine, which is my very favorite molecule that I've been working on for over a decade now. So pretty big deal, yeah.
So Yanis, tell us about this phosphine. Let's get into the details. Just briefly, what did you find?
Yes, so the international team, which was led by the Jane Greaves from the University of Cardiff, was able to actually detect something absolutely unusual, just like Clara mentioned. It is a molecule that contains phosphorus and three hydrogen atoms, and it is very, very difficult to make in a regular environment that you can find on rocky planets like Earth or Venus. So on Earth, for example, this molecule is made only by life. So that's why there is all this mystery, what actually makes it on Venus.
So Clara, what kind of life here on Earth makes phosphine?
So phosphine on Earth is produced exclusively by life, but in two different ways. Phosphine is an extremely toxic and rather scary molecule. And so humans have made it, usually for reasonably nefarious means. And it was used in the First World War as a chemical warfare agent, and most recently by ISIS. So it's really a killing machine, and it's used as a pesticide exactly for that purpose. Now, it is also produced by life that doesn't find it toxic. Phosphine is only toxic to oxygen metabolism. And throughout the world, peppered away is life that doesn't rely on oxygen, anaerobic life, on swamps and at the bottom of lakes and in the excrements and intestines of most animals. And there, this anaerobic life that doesn't rely on oxygen is not so scared of phosphine, and it produces it in quite large quantities.
So just to be really clear, if I understand from what I read and from the press conference today, it is essentially, we don't have an explanation for why phosphine would exist in the atmosphere on Venus other than that there must have been some living source that created that phosphine. Is that right, Yanis?
Well, I guess there are two explanations, and both of them are extremely, extremely exciting from the point of view of science. The first one is that let's assume that phosphine is actually not made by life, and that it is actually a product of some unusual geology, photochemistry, or some atmospheric chemistry that we have no clue about. This would mean that our understanding of the rocky planets like Earth or Venus is very, very incomplete, which means that it opens a huge opportunity for all kinds of studies, and that the diversity of rocky planets is actually much, much larger than we thought. The other hypothesis, which is equally staggering, but it's also amazing and unlikely as well, is that this is product of life. As Clara said, phosphine is exclusively produced by life on Earth. So maybe it is actually produced by life on Venus as well. We have to, of course, realize that Venus is an extremely different planet than Earth from the point of view of the environment, the clouds that are there. So we don't even know how life could actually survive there.
So Clara, to Yanis's point just now in reading for today, I was really struck by the fact that the surface of Venus sounds like a hellscape, you know, boiling surface, temperatures that average more than 800 degrees Fahrenheit, an atmosphere full of carbon dioxide, but it also sounds like at one point it may have been more like Earth. So I guess a two-part question, how could life exist anywhere there? And if it does, is it a remnant from another time when the planet was more hospitable, do we think?
Well, you are right. The surface of Venus is not a good holiday destination. It's really rather abominable, and I wouldn't recommend it for anything or anyone, no matter how strange that life might be. But you're right, it used to be much more habitable. And if there had been life then, that life would have seen a horrible runaway greenhouse effect, effectively rendering their entire planet, or almost their entire planet, completely uninhabitable. And so if there had been life on Venus then, only those that could adapt to the clouds that remained temperate would have survived. And if that's the case, and that's what we're seeing, we're witnessing the very end of a living planet struggling to survive in an ever-thinning envelope of the atmosphere, having watched a mass extinction for a really long time. So it's really heartbreaking if they are biology, anything that we could recognize. So really, I'm hoping it's completely different biochemistry that is comfortable living in a cloud covered in sulfuric acid with very little access to water and really very little resemblance to life that we know on Earth, because otherwise they will be struggling right now, and my heart goes out to them.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting you to make me want to cry, but you kind of did.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I want to ask the two of you, I mean, this is so potentially wondrous and shocking. How surprised were the two of you that we found this and on Venus, and that this could potentially be the case?
Well, yes, thank you. We were stunned and surprised, but there is more to this story from our side on MIT, because we were studying, and Clara's work is actually a paramount here, is that essentially we were studying phosphine and its biosignature potential. So how we can actually detect it on planets theoretically for quite a long time. So from that point of view, for at least several years. So of course it was a huge surprise for us, and this was a wow factor, and I think that it will be a wow factor for quite a while. But it is also a fantastic confirmation of our previous theoretical work, which I am really particularly happy about.
Clara, what comes next? I mean, do you have to do more validation of the findings? How do you gather more data?
Well, this is a very exciting discovery as is, but there's obviously two big maybes. The first one is it phosphine for sure? And the second is, if it is phosphine, are we sure it's life? Now, we're working really hard on the first by trying to do follow-up observations of phosphine on Venus and to confirm without any ambiguity that it must be phosphine and not some less exotic molecule. And when we do that, we'll also be able to map the distribution of phosphine on the disk of Venus and try to see if there's any behavior that could be associated with an aerial biosphere. Which brings me to the second maybe, which is, how do we prove it is life? And that's very tough, because it mostly involves proving a negative. Now, myself and Janusz and the rest of the team have worked really hard for well over a year to try to explain this observation or detection of phosphine really on any rocky planet with anything other than life. And we have exhausted all possibilities. But maybe we missed something. Maybe someone in the scientific community will come and explain where we went wrong, and we welcome that very much. So far, there's been nothing. And so one day we may have completely run out of possible explanations, and then we will have life as the only remaining explanation. Even then, people won't be convinced. So I expect those skeptics will only be convinced once we actually go to Venus and collect a sample. But because it's next door, we can't do that.
I want you to do all of it. What a treat. Clara Souza Silva is a molecular astrophysicist now at Harvard University and on the research team for today's discovery. Clara, thank you.
Thank you.
And Janusz Petkowski is a research scientist at the Department of Earth, Atmospheric, and Planetary Sciences at MIT, also a member of the research team. Janusz, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. That was a pleasure.
So listening into that conversation was Marcia Bartuszak, professor of the practice emeritus at MIT and author of several books on astrophysics and astronomy, a friend of the show. Marcia, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So, Marcia, you often join us to kind of help explain space stuff, and I was kind of looking forward to fangirling with you a little bit on this. What went through your mind when you first heard this news about possible signs of life on Venus?
Well, my first thought is we have been so focused for decades on Mars and some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn for finding alien life right here in our solar system, and this discovery puts Venus back into the spotlight where it used to be for centuries before the space probes found those, you know, horrific environments on Venus. Venus was the prime subject when it came to discussing life. With Venus hidden in clouds, there were all kinds of speculations. There was a lot of talk that there were lush jungles just filled with alien life. But of course, that all went away when they found those pressures and temperatures that can melt lead. So the focus went on Mars and those moons. But today's announcement, this is what's excited me, might energize new proposals to explore Venus more deeply. There's one suggestion to have a solar-powered aircraft gathering samples within the Venusian atmosphere. And as Clara pointed out, we already know that certain microorganisms right here on Earth can thrive within a very acidic environment. So why not Venus, too? I find it kind of ironic that we've come back full circle. Maybe the search for other life in our solar system will make its first definitive discovery on a planet we've been ignoring all this time.
And right next door.
And right next door, and the one that, by size, is closest to Earth.
So, Marcia, what are you going to be watching for? You heard Clara at the end there talk about kind of what has to happen next and how they might be able to eliminate other possibilities until one draws the conclusion that it is, in fact, the result of life. What are you going to be watching for?
Well, I'm hoping that NASA will get very excited and put some more money into exploring Venus, which we literally have not been doing for quite a while. The focus has been on the outer solar system and not the inner solar system. So I'm hoping that this is going to mean more time on the big telescopes so they can take better spectroscopic data, all of this light gathering to get better spectral evidence for what those chemicals are. And more work in the laboratory for proving that these molecules can only be gotten from life and not an inorganic process.
So exciting. Marcia, I'm glad you joined us. Marcia Bartuszak, professor of the practice emeritus at MIT and author of several books on astrophysics and astronomy. Thanks for sharing the news with us today.
It was so great to be with you.
And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director, with engineering today by Jimmy Kiesling. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.